This is Perspectives, a weekly public affairs presentation by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 99.7 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. It's time to catch up with the world of Wall Street with investment advisor Kevin Clark of West Michigan Advisors. Kevin, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Gary. Yeah, things are going well. We've been doing a little traveling, so I've had a chance to see a lot of construction still going on in the economy, a lot of traffic, a lot of trucks. And so all of that is kind of good news for the economy. And yet we know that maybe it's still the hangover of the pandemic economy that we spoke about last time I was on. And I still believe that we're in this pandemic economy where supply chains are still, they're better. You know, they're certainly better than they were a year ago, but still somewhat broken. We clearly have an energy crisis here in the United States, but it's very acute in Europe. And so we've all been feeling inflation, certainly as I've driven around in the last week. Paying for gas has been much more expensive. And so, you know, all of these things continue to be in the economy. And, you know, what really was striking here this last week is the number of large construction projects that I've seen kind of around the countryside. And, you know, this is money that's been spent, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. And it's still the trillions of dollars that are in the system just waiting to be spent. And that's going to, you know, kind of hurt on the inflation front as the Fed's been trying to get inflation down. But ultimately, you know, the momentum is slowing. All the economic indicators continue to show that. The one spot that it's still hard to figure out is the employment picture. Employment still looks to be pretty good, but when you look at most of the other economic indicators, this economy is definitely slowing down.
There have been at least one generation and maybe two that have, A, never really felt the impact of inflation that we felt in the 1970s, and now they're feeling it now. Yeah. And I'm sorry to say that it's been a generation or so that has really not felt the impact of a job action that we used to see in the 70s and the 60s when we had an auto worker strike or a AFL-CIO strike or a Teamster strike, and it crippled the economy or hampered it, I think is a better way of putting it. Everybody felt the impact for a while. We just haven't seen that in a while.
Oh, it's been decades. I mean, decades. And we're aging ourselves, Gary. But yes, we remember those times. And and that's even the thing about inflation. When you look at it today, you know, it looks as though we are coming down, and we're certainly coming off of that 9% number. But I remember inflation well above 10%, 11-12%. I remember mortgage rates, you know, well into double digits. I remember gas lines, shortages, a lot of things. And you know, what's really interesting this morning, you know, many of the reports coming out of Europe are the same kind of reports we remember in the 60s and 70s. There are many people in Europe that are not heating parts of their home because natural gas prices have gone up 10 times. Those are the types of things. That's the austerity that, you know, really entrenched inflation, labor issues can bring to an economy. And you are absolutely correct. Many generations have not experienced that. And it doesn't feel very good.
I was hoping we would not experience that again, to be honest with you. But unfortunately, yes. Human nature being what it is, we're doomed to repeat the mistakes of history no matter what. Kevin, what do you think remarks by the Fed president out of St. Louis, James Bullard, saying he believes that interest rates need to be above 5% in order to control inflation, it may stay at those levels into 2024. Surprised or alarmed or
no,
what?
No, you know, I'm not surprised. I'm not alarmed. I mean, this is, I think, a typical approach for the Federal Reserve, which is to jawbone a little bit, a little more hawkishness to kind of keep the markets from, you know, front running what the Fed is going to do. Clearly, when you look at the bond market today, we have an inverted yield curve. And what's important about that and what that means is that short-term interest rates are higher than long-term rates. And that typically is a sign of recession on the horizon. The question is, do we have a recession coming in 2023? Nobody knows at this point. But what's interesting to me is that obviously the Fed has been very, very aggressive in raising short-term interest rates in a very short period of time, trying to play a little catch-up from the pandemic. I do believe that we're in the later innings now of this rate hiking cycle. The Fed, yeah, maybe we have to get to 5%. You know, the question is, is that the last part of 2023 or is that this continued very aggressive move with 75 basis point increases? The Fed will meet again in a couple of weeks. I think the consensus is that the Fed will raise only 50 basis points or a 0.5%, get us back to about 4.25%. And so really 5% is not that far away when you consider we started at zero. So, you know, maybe 80% of the Fed increase is already in the market. And so when you look at it, the Dow's off 7% this year. The NASDAQ is down just about 30% this year. And the S&P 500's down just under 17% for the year. I mean, the markets have really priced in some bad news and they've really priced in much higher interest rates. And of course, you know, what they're now saying, which again, to try to keep I think the markets from overheating is, you know, we're going to be higher for longer. That's the phrase that you keep seeing from Fed governors. And so I don't think that's surprising anyone anymore. And so I think as we start to see, you know, smaller increases, I think stock investors can start looking out 6-12 months and start seeing a little bit of light at the end of this tunnel. But all in all, until the Fed really is finished with this tightening cycle, it's going to be difficult for the markets to, have that rip-roaring move higher into a new bull market. You know, we are clearly in a bear market, and we've had some rallies here, but we're still in a bear market.
Can any historical trends be used as a guide for perhaps early 2023? It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Kevin, that when we get into a new year, we tend to get into a bull market. Seems like people want to do something after the first of the year.
Yeah, seasonally, I mean, this is a good time of year for the markets, and we've seen that here in the last 3 weeks. We've had a very nice rally, again, I think you have to look out. You know, it's you don't fight the Fed, and as long as the Fed is going to tighten, it's just difficult. I mean, there are two things that drive stock prices. You know, one is profits. We have seen third quarter corporate earnings were up, you know, about 2%. So, I mean, we did see a little bit of progress. But the other factor is interest rates. And as interest rates rise, the price earnings multiple, what people are willing to pay for those profits goes down and it shrinks. We're in that cycle. So until rates stabilize, we're not going to really see earnings increases kind of in those stock prices, I believe. So, you know, this is a good time to be reviewing your portfolios. This may be a time to take some tax losses and do some tax swaps, just kind of repositioning, reassess your, you know, the risk that you've been taking. I mean, we've certainly seen that in the crypto world. So, which I don't want to talk about.
I can certainly understand that, but it does lead me to a question. Sure. I know that we've discussed in the past, and it's been discussed by others as well, is the fact that you can look for historical trends and maybe see what has happened in the past as a gauge possibly of what could happen in the future. Is the virtual world, I don't use the term virtual world, social media sites, social media revenues, you mentioned the crypto world, many industries that weren't around, say, 20, 25 years ago, but now are a part of the economy. If they scuffle, do they bring the whole economy with them? What do you, because does that skew any historical background or any historical point of reference for what we're going through now and maybe see a way out?
Well, I think when you look at, you know, some of the speculative areas of the market, and I would clearly put the crypto world there, it's more reminiscent of the 2000 tech wreck that we saw then, much different from the 2008-2009 financial crisis, where subprime mortgages kind of brought the, you know, that was the domino that kind of brought everything down. So this is more reminiscent of 2000, in my view. And, you know, that took 18 months or so to kind of work through and to get on the other side. The one thing about inflation is that it will push, eventually it's going to push corporate earnings higher. And it is a decent inflation hedge over the long run. You know, common stocks will be a good inflation hedge over the long run. It's just painful in the short run as interest rates go up. So I think we're still in that. But you know, like I said with the Fed, they're probably 80% of the way through. And so the shock of those increases doesn't have the same impact. And I think investors are trying to look out as to, okay, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, where can I start to, you know, put money? Where can I position it today to take advantage of it a year from now? Because we can see how powerful these rallies can be. I mean, if you were out of the market for most of November, you've missed 10 to 15% up. And so we're not saying to get out of the market, but we are saying that we still have a ways to go before we can really say we're in a new bull market.
The words of investment advisor Kevin Clark of West Michigan Advisors. And that's Perspectives for this week. From the 99.7 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. Thank you very much for listening. And join me again next week at this time for more Perspectives.